The views and opinions expressed on this podcast are for informational purposes only and solely those of the podcast participants, contributors, and guests, and do not constitute an endorsement by or necessarily represent the views of The Hartford or its affiliates.
You're listening to the Small Biz Ahead podcast, brought to you by The Hartford.
Welcome to another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. I'm here today, as always, with Gene Marks. Gene, how are you doing today?
I am doing fine, Elizabeth. How are you?
I'm good. Looking forward to the weekend. We're recording this on a Friday, which is obviously the best day of the week. But Gene, you told me recently that you actually work on Saturdays as well.
Well, yeah, I mean, like, that's like a whole other topic of conversation we can have one day. But like, I don't know, when you run a business, I mean, I don't consider myself taking days off. So I work on Saturdays and Sundays, at least responding to emails or working on projects or proposals or whatever.
Do you still get up at the same time?
No, I sleep in a little bit more. I usually get up at 5 in the morning during the week, but then on the weekends I'll sleep in a little bit more. And it's much more chillaxed on the weekend. Yeah. You're not, you know, it's the same level of work that you're doing during the week. But it always makes me laugh when people go away on they have like a vacation message. That's so company thing. Like, you work at the Hartford, you go away and you have an out of office message.
Yep.
And for me, like, I've never ever used an out of office message. I think my clients would be like, what the heck is he talking about?
Yeah. You know?
So whenever I travel, or even if I'm on vacation or whatever, I've got this thing called a smartphone. So I get, emails that way.
What's
and messages.
That?
Yeah. And there's this internet thing that I hear is all over the world. So I stay in touch that way as well.
So I've been seeing something lately where people put an out of office message on their email, but instead of saying I'm out of the office, they say I only check email 3 times a day at these times.
Right.
And I think that's like a time management trick for them, because a lot of people, I think, just get stuck in their email and they start responding to emails
right.
and they never get out of it and start doing their work. Would you
right.
ever consider doing that?
No. First of all, who cares how often you're checking your email? I don't care about that. That's like a pilot. You get on the plane and he's like, we're going to be taking off to the west, and then we'll be crossing over Chicago, and then we'll be cutting down to the south. And then Jerry Seinfeld has a routine on that where you're just like, whatever, just get me there, you know? And it's the same thing with your email. Like, I don't care if you're checking it 2 a day, 3 times, just reply to my email. That's what I care about. And that's what your customers care about, your clients. Not how often you're replying, just reply to your email.
Yeah.
You know? So.
And I also love the emails that I get back from people. I got your email, I'll respond later. You could have just responded later. I don't need to know.
Well, that's an interesting, bring up another point. And again, email etiquette is that we should write that down. The responding later thing, I don't mind that maybe as much as you do, only because, first of all, it's a quick response. Maybe you should just respond now, but at least an acknowledgement is nice. I mean, what drives me nuts is when I email somebody I know, somebody or whatever, and you're like, you're not getting any replies. Like, you know, you're like, hello, like, you know, did you get this? Can you reply back? Whatever.
Yeah, but that's probably just your kids, right?
No, not at all. My kids are terrible at that. But no, in the corporate world, you'd be surprised how oftentimes I'll be emailing somebody, hey, just checking in on this or, you know, whatever. And then I'm getting nothing. And nothing like, just like, if you could just 2 seconds, you know, hey, Gene, no thanks. Or hey, Gene, not right now. Or, you know, I'll get back to you next week. Busy right now. It takes 2 seconds to reply. So I'm big on replying to emails, at least just acknowledging.
You reply so quickly to emails. In fact, when you don't reply to emails,
you start wondering.
20 minutes, I'm like, should I call the Philly like hospital?
Yeah, right.
Or something?
Like, right. I'm kind of big into it's just like replying to emails. That just, even if it's just a quick 1, 2, 3 reply. But like this morning, I've been a little bit out of pocket now while we do our podcast. But I'll check my emails later and make sure they get back to people. I don't, 20 minutes, okay, is something, but. Within a couple of hours.
Yeah, definitely. Okay, we're going to be up with questions after we hear from our sponsor.
The Small Biz Ahead podcast is brought to you by the Business Owner's Playbook. Whether you're a seasoned small business owner or just starting out, the Business Owner's Playbook is your go-to destination for how to run your business. From business plan templates to advice on managing employees, the Business Owner's Playbook features up-to-date, sound advice on running your business.
Okay, our first question is from Sharon in Tulsa, Oklahoma.
Okay.
I've always wanted to start my own dance studio, and I think I'm finally ready to do it. but I'm really worried about finding teachers and students because I live in Oklahoma. That's not exactly Prague or New York City. And I don't know the first thing about market research. What do I do? What are my next steps? Pun intended.
Oh, that is actually pretty funny. I like that. Do you have any thoughts?
So I'm assuming that Sharon has probably been dancing in the Oklahoma area if she wants to open a studio. So she's probably got some contacts there. So can you poach some teachers from other businesses?
Look, here's the best thing is she needs to be targeting on what her audience is. So she doesn't say like, is her dance studio for kids? Is it for adults? Is it for, you know, whatever? You know, if it's for kids, which let's assume that it is, I mean, Tulsa has schools like every other city. And Tulsa has parents with, you know, kids that I'm sure they would love their kids to learn some dancing. So as far as finding kids, I don't think that's a problem. I think you're zeroing in on certain schools in the area and, and trying to, you know, get the word out to those schools if they have a bulletin board, if you can, you know, contact, you know, any advertising activities. A lot of these schools have their own newsletters. They have their own, you know, they're looking for sponsorship money if you want to sponsor the football team or, you know, throw out an ad for something. It won't take you that long. And in the dance business, which is nice, particularly with kids, that if you spend some money on marketing, you're starting up from scratch and you're marketing to kids, trust me, you know, you start getting in a few students, all word of mouth. It will grow from there, assuming that you do a good job. And then you can assume that you won't have to be spending a whole lot of marketing money like that in the future. But you do want to do that to try and grab your first, you know, one or two dozen students to get them in. Finding teachers, that's a whole other situation.
That's a tougher one. And I think what you'd probably have to do, I have a little bit of knowledge of this because one of my friends here in Connecticut opened a music school for kids. Mm. And what she did is she taught all the classes in the beginning. And then as parents came in that were really into it, like got really into it, like the ones that actually wanted to sing in public in front of the other parents, which is rare.
Wow.
She kind of recruited them right. to say, okay, do you want to start taking some of the classes? I think it will just take a little while, but I'm sure like, I like Jean's idea of going to a school. I'm sure there's some colleges. I'm sure they have dance teams.
Sure.
And recruiting some instructors from there.
And that's also a great idea as well. You talk about dance teams, dance clubs. If a school, and we're talking as young as elementary school, could be middle school as well. If they don't have a dance club or a dance team, why not go and volunteer your time and say, yeah. You know what, I would love to start this up and I can be an adult, you know, the adult sponsor of it and teach kids. And, you know, I mean, then you'll be funneling off students from there, you know, as well. So I think there's a lot. Dance also is funny as it is such a great form of fitness and exercise as well.
Definitely.
That, you know, she could be marketing herself even to, you know, I'm assuming dance is mostly for girls. So she gets a girls teams, athletic teams saying, hey, why don't to work with the coach of the team? Why don't we do some fitness exercises and I'll lead them and they're dance oriented. Anything like that to get your name out there so that you can start drawing in students. That would be a big thing.
And if you're renting out a space for the dance studio, another idea, I've seen a lot of dance studios in the Hartford area do this. They're yeah. also offering Zumba classes because that's still so popular right now. So what you could do is just to supplement your income is also rent out your space to Zumba instructors and then you split the profits with them.
It's a great idea.
It's another way to make a little money.
That's a great idea.
If you're going to invest in the studio, you should try to figure out ways you can constantly be making money from that space. So offering private lessons, group lessons, maybe Zumba, maybe like bar fitness classes. So think beyond dance just for ways to kind of diversify your offering.
Funny that you bring that up as well, Elizabeth. That's such a great comment. If you are going to invest in a space, then your whole business is all about keeping that space occupied at capacity throughout the day. So that's just a great idea. And it might not even be related to dance. It might be parties. It might be, you know, kids events. It might be, but it's renting out the space. Your whole job is to keep your space chargeable throughout the day, not just with dance. That's great. Definitely. See, there's real life answers to real life
to
questions.
Real problems.
We are. Okay, so go and dance your, you know what off in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Go.
The other thing is after you, going back to your original question with the teachers, is after, if you are teaching adults, after you've been teaching for a while, you can probably pick out the ones who are just really good and who might want to pick up some extra income. And you can train those teachers to be can evangelize your dance lessons.
Yep.
Okay, we're going to be back with our second question after we hear from our sponsor again.
Are you looking to expand and grow your small business but don't have time to keep up with the latest trends in technology? We've got you covered with the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. Sign up today and start receiving our weekly email chock full of the latest tools and resources to help you run a successful business. Find us at smallbizahead.com.
Okay, Jessica from Illinois writes, I have a deli and I'm wondering how I should handle complaints that are posted on social media. Also, what should I do if someone posts an awesome review or compliment? If someone complains on social media, I think you need to respond as respectfully as possible and move on. Like, you really just want to diffuse that. You're not going to win an argument with someone posting on social media. So just don't get into like a flame war with people, because I've seen small businesses do that. Do you agree, Gene?
Disagree. I think you need to find them on Twitter and troll them, find out where they live and egg their house and TP their house. I mean, who do these people think they are complaining? Yeah, you're 100%. And the other thing is on social media, I don't know if you know this or not, but sometimes people on social media can be kind of mean. I mean, who knew? you get behind a computer screen and you turn into a dragon. I mean, it's amazing. So you got to grow a little bit of a thick skin. I can tell you this one. You have to be the same, Elizabeth. Answer me this. If you're thinking of going to a deli or a restaurant and you go on Yelp and there's a few hundred reviews on Yelp and there's a few bad ones, does that like stop you from going? Like, you know?
No.
Right. It really doesn't.
If I went on to Yelp and I saw every single review as bad, but that never happens.
It never happens.
It never happens.
That's right. I mean, it's usually like relatively good. I'm kind of curious if somebody has a bad review. It kind of sticks out. So I'm like curious, like why?
Yeah.
But okay. So I'm just gathering the facts, but it's never turned me off of going anywhere. What would definitely turn me off, though, is if I saw the business owner like get involved in some
kind
of
flaming someone online.
Yeah, then I'd be like, Jesus, this guy's like a bit of a nut. So yeah, don't, you know, just don't even go there. You always respond respectfully and positively. And what can we do? And you know, and we're trying our best to make it better and thank them for their comments. You always take the high road. Always take the high road.
Definitely. Okay, for the second part of your question, what should you do if someone posts an awesome review or a compliment? So this is something that I see business owners ignoring all the time, which I think it would be so easy to just log in and say, thank you so much for taking the time to post your positive review or compliment. The other thing you could do is ask that person if you can use their review or compliment in your marketing materials.
Perfect example. Or ask them to find out the address of the person who posted that bad review for you and on your behalf. Just say, would you mind going to this guy's house and beating him up for me because I'm not allowed. No, you're absolutely right. It's a saying thank you is great. Using them as a reference is great. You've got a real, you know, you've got a real fan there. And I think that's really, really nice thing to do. Don't make the mistake of giving offering discounts or promotions to people that give good reviews. Because again, the internet is the ultimate in transparency. We get it if there's anything nefarious going on. So somebody writes a good review. A simple thank you is very, very good thing to do.
You know what? That happens to me all the time. We were just talking about in another episode, we were talking about hair dryers. So a lot of salons, I feel like I bring up salons all the time, but those are small businesses
so
that I interact with a lot.
Fair enough.
And most women do. Most women like are at a salon getting their hair done and
nails and eyebrows and hair and
all kinds of
stuff. Mani-pedis.
And they're mostly small businesses.
Yes.
For the most part.
Yes.
A lot of them will say to you, if you leave me a positive review on Yelp and you print it out and bring it in, I'll give you a 10% discount or something.
Yeah.
And I feel like that always kind of turns me off.
I agree with you. There's something a little disingenuous about it. It's like you're paying for people. This gets back to the influencer marketing we talked about in a previous episode where you're paying people to like say something nice about you. The whole point of social media is supposed to be organic. You know, people say something nice about you if you've earned their praise.
Yeah.
You shouldn't necessarily have to be buying it from them. And I do think that other users get that. Like if they hear that people get discounts because they're saying nice things, it really discounts what you're thinking of the overall place. So I agree with you.
Definitely. And the other side of that is, and not social, well, kind of social media, but if I'm going down the rabbit hole of comparing products on Amazon and I see that a product has gotten a lot of positive reviews within like a day or like a certain date and then no other reviews.
That tells you something.
It always pops a red flag for me. Like, I wonder if they paid a bunch, or I wonder if they gave a product away for free and said to someone, hey, we're going to give you our product for free in exchange for a review. Right.
So be wary of that.
Yeah. But, you know, you can still post your true feelings about it. Like, no one's going to post a negative review.
And trust me, if you and I are talking about this, okay, I mean, at least on my behalf, I am not by no means the brightest bulb in the bunch. If I figured this out, trust me, the rest of the internet has figured this out as well. Yeah. So those kinds of sort of disingenuous ways of marketing yourself, I think, are easily exposed.
Now, how do you feel about business owners saying to their customers, leave us a review? Like, if someone says to, let's say you own Gene's Deli, and someone comes in and is like, Gene, your chicken cutlet sandwich is awesome. I love it. And you say to that person, like, oh, well, write us a review on Yelp.
Nothing wrong with that, of course. Yeah, that's completely fine. I mean, I, as an individual, I hate being told to do anything by anybody anyway. Yep. You know what I mean? Like, you know, I was going to write you a review, but now that you're telling me to write a review, I don't know if I've really fit. So I don't know. But there's nothing wrong with that. You know what I mean? Yeah. Just to say, like, hey, we're on Yelp. If you give me a, you know, give me a thumbs up there, that'd be really great. Thank you. You know, that's all.
All right. So to recap, try to diffuse complaints by being as respectful as possible.
Take the high road.
Take the high road. If you can, offer to give that person, you know, come to an agreement on how to fix that problem if you can. You know, if it was an employee being rude to them, you can say, like, on behalf of the establishment, I'm the owner. I really apologize for that. That's not how we normally do business.
I have flogged such employee. No longer will that
happen. If someone found like a bug in their meal, then you could say, like, you know, if you come in again, I'll give you a free sandwich or whatever.
Or make a joke, like, I didn't charge you extra for the bug. You know what I mean? So,
and there's a lot of protein in that. And if someone does leave a positive comment, then definitely thank them for that. And we're going to be back with Gene's Word of Brilliance right after we hear from our sponsor.
Running a business is challenging, and you probably don't always have the time to research new strategies, market trends, and develop skills. But imagine if you could have all the latest information on running a business delivered to you every week. Luckily, there's the weekly Small Biz Ahead newsletter. We offer some of the best information available for business owners, ranging from topics such as time management, game-changing technology and apps, to developing management and leadership skills. Sign up today for the Small Biz Ahead newsletter at smallbizahead.com.
Okay, we're back with our Word of Brilliance from Gene.
Word of Brilliance.
And it is one word. And this is a really popular word right now.
Slack is a very popular word. So, Elizabeth, you have heard of Slack, right?
Yes.
Do you guys use it here at the Hartford?
No, but I've heard of it mostly among, like, younger people.
I haven't. Really? I haven't. I've heard it, like, all over. Slack is a messaging service. Very inexpensive, cloud-based technology. And by the way, a lot of people don't know this, but I just thought I'd give a shout out. Slack's biggest competitor is Microsoft's Yammer. So if you have Office 365, it comes with Yammer, and Yammer does mostly what Slack does as well. Just saying, you know, you don't have to, you know, you might already own something very similar.
So what is Slack?
So Slack is this. The best way I can describe it is to explain through a story. And the story is this. Let us suppose you're at a customer and you're having a big problem and you're text messaging back and forth with your customer and with your employees and you're emailing back and forth about the problem. And maybe you have an instant messaging back and forth. You're all discussing the problem with whatever going on. And then you fix the problem. And you're just, oh, it was right. It was the disconfibrillator, you know, fabrication device that should have been turned on. So, okay. So you fix the problem. 6 months later, you have a same problem with another customer and you're looking at each other and you're saying, like, what was it again that we remember we had this like 6 months ago? What did anybody? You go into Slack, you type in the keyword, whatever, for the problem. Discombobulator is the problem, whatever. Boom. It pulls up all the messages that went back and forth about that keyword or about that problem, whether it was instant messaging, text messaging, emailing, whatever. So what is Slack? It is a database where all of your company's messages are being stored. Imagine, for everybody in your company and outside of your company.
Text and email?
Text and email. You can configure it so it integrates with your email system as well. It's a mobile application as well as desktop application too. People Love it. And then, of course, you can create groups as well. So you can have certain groups for conversations going on back and forth about certain things, and that all gets saved as well. So it's just this big collaboration messaging system that integrates with your email system, text messaging, instant messaging, and all the messages go into one place.
So
awesome
cool.
tool. Slack is now valued at like $3 billion,
wow.
Which it's wow, because we're in Hartford, so anything valued here, $1 million sounds like a lot. But in Silicon Valley, $3 billion is like nothing. You know what I mean? You can start up a company in a garage and you're a $1 billion company. But no, it's a very valuable company, very well respected, growing. Big fan. Big
cool.
fan.
I have a word of brilliance this week. And it's actually, I'm going to condense it down to one word. It's a newsletter. So if you are not signed up for the Small Biz Ahead weekly newsletter, which I think I've talked about before, but I'm going to talk about it again today. You need to go and sign up, Small Biz Ahead, Google it, you'll find us, you can sign up for the email right there. We send out an email to you every week, we never spam you, and we have tons of great content in there. Gene writes for us, we promote this podcast in it, so you'll never miss an episode. We've got resources. We have a cash flow calculator, which is so cool. We have tons of articles on managing your employees, how to hire people, how to fire people, how to manage your cash if you're a seasonal business, lead generation, everything that you need to run a small business. Really, we're right there for you every week. So sign up for the Small Biz Ahead weekly newsletter at Small Biz Ahead. And that's my word of brilliance this week.
Very nice.
So we will be back next week with another episode. Gene, thanks for being here again today.
Always happy to be here, Elizabeth.
Thanks for joining Elizabeth and Gene for another edition of the Small Biz Ahead podcast. For the latest on small business trends straight from the small business experts, visit the Hartford Small Biz Ahead. We've got articles, how-tos, and videos to help you run your business more efficiently. Check us out at smallbizahead.com.